welcome to another edition of Everyone Has a Story. I am your host, Nate Wade, coming to you, as always, from the great state of Idaho in the United States of America. This week, we have Andrea Albright on the show. She is an entrepreneur, a health and fitness guru, book publisher. She has a very inspiring story, and we thank Andrea for calling into the dungeon and sharing a little bit about her journey. So stay tuned to that. It's going to be a fantastic conversation. How's your week been? You guys doing okay? Everything fine? Still have your jobs? I hope so, because I would not be happy if you didn't have your job. It's been a tough summer, hasn't it? I mean, there's been some crazy stuff that has happened in this country and in the world, and I hope everybody has made it through rather unscathed. Here we are in the midst of the election season. We have just had the two national conventions come our way, and now we're smack dab in it. What did you guys think of the conventions? The Democratic convention last week, the Republican convention this week? Let me know. Shoot me a text on Twitter at KNA Radio. You can find me there. Or, you can find me on Everybody's Got a Story on Facebook. Would love to hear you. Just want to hear your thoughts. I don't want to hear any partisan craziness or stupid nonsense about who you vote for determines whether or not this party burns in hell. But let me know, what'd you think of the convention? Did any one of those candidates actually prove the point that they deserve to be president? That is, after all, the actual question that remains to be seen, is it not? Well, I also want to send a shout out to my buddy Steve living down there in Louisiana and everybody else that was in the path of this Hurricane Laura that ripped through Texas and Louisiana yesterday. I hope most of you are okay. And even if you have some property damage, all of your lives are still intact and that you haven't had any problem with that. I see the devastation and I wish I could do something, but the biggest thing I can do, I guess, being in Idaho, is send you my prayers, and I do that. And if you need anything from me, if I can help you, I will. So I know it's going to be a long process cleaning up after this disaster. It seems like it's been a pretty bad hurricane. So I hope that you guys are able to recover, and I hope insurance kicks in and helps you guys out, because it seems like there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be pretty pricey to deal with down there in Louisiana and Texas. So yeah, boy, it's been kind of a crazy week. My week has been pretty good. I've had the week off from work. I haven't had to work at all. Usually I'm out there digging in farm fields and doing 10-foot test digs and sweating like crazy and dying because I'm out there and the humidity of the farm field when it's 9,500 degrees outside. But this week I've just been kind of piddling around the house. Haven't actually done much work around the house either. I think, oh, I'm going to do this when I get up. And then I'm just like, nah, I think I'm just going to sit around and, you know, read a book or something like that. Listen to other podcasts. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. And it's been nice. I have not been sad that I haven't been working. I'll tell you that. But back to it on Monday, back to harvest time. This is the crazy time for us here in agricultural business. So yeah, it's going to be fun. But your potatoes and your onions and things like that, they're coming your way. They're going to be fresh out of the ground, and everybody's going to be happy, right? I hope so. I hope so. Hey, I just want to tell you a little bit about a new podcast that I have started along with my son and my buddy Charlie. It is called the Simpleton Review Podcast. We review a movie and a album every month. So we basically do two podcasts every month, and we try to keep them under 30 minutes, so it's not too much of a time commitment. We are trying to cater it towards YouTube. So we do have a YouTube channel that says Simpleton Review on YouTube, or you can find the Simpleton Review podcast on any podcasting platform that you like to listen to your podcast. And you can find all of that information, including awesome frickin' t-shirts, I might add, at simpletonreview.com. That is simpletonreview.com. And to say that as well, I am actually looking for some bloggers. So if you want to do reviews of books, movies, television, anything entertainment based like that, then get a hold of me, because I would love to have you as an official blogger at thesimpletonreview.com. Yes, indeed. And I am going to give you just a little bit of taste of what the Simpleton Review podcast is like. So I hope you enjoy it. It's the beginning. I don't know where to stop, so it might be kind of an abrupt stop, but we'll see. But this is the most recent Simpleton Review podcast, talking about Pearl Jam's Gigaton.
All right. Well, on this episode of Simpleton Review, we're going to talk about a brand new album by one of my favorite bands, a tiny little band from Seattle called Pearl Jam. Yes, that's right. Pearl Jam finally came out with a brand new album, and they called it Gigaton. It's the 11th studio album by Pearl Jam. It was released back in March, so it's been around for a couple of months, and you know, we've had some discussion on what albums to review since then, and Pearl Jam has lost out. So now it's my turn, and we're going to talk about Pearl Jam. Heck yeah! So let's just say Pearl Jam, hopefully most of you guys know who Pearl Jam is, but they were probably, at one point they were up there in the upper echelons of rock music. Probably you could say they were one of the top five rock bands of all time, at least in the early 90s, at least probably between like 1990 to maybe 1994, 95. They were up there big time. Huge, huge rock band with millions and millions of followers. They were an interesting band. They were part of what they called the Seattle Sound. So they were grunge, but Pearl Jam wasn't as grungy as Nirvana or Alice in Chains or some of those other bands. They were a lot more kind of in-your-face rock and roll. Really done by Stone Gossard's excellent, excellent guitar work. I just totally groove his guitar. I mean, you could really say that they were – you could put Pearl Jam in maybe the 70s or 80s and you would have still – they could have still been successful because they had that sound. Maybe a little bit grunge, but they bordered on metal, which I guess that's why I liked Pearl Jam so much. Plus, they were kind of depressing on occasion, so that was good too.
Well, that's the thing. They still held on to the guitar solo. I mean, everybody else nixed it.
Yeah.
I mean, there were great guitar solos in this album.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what did you guys think? What was your impressions of Pearl Jam's Gigaton?
I'm looking at Lemuel's face.
Charlie? we'll go Charlie first.
Yeah.
And that is a Simpleton Review podcast brought to you by me, your humble host, Simpleton number one, and Simpleton number two, Charlie Gibson, and Simpleton number three, Lemuel Edwards. Yes, indeed. That is Lemuel Edwards, my son. He is the only Generation Z voice on that podcast. You know, we need something because Charlie and I were both Gen Xers and we look at things through a Gen Xer point of view. And if you listen to that podcast about Pearl Jam, you're going to hear Lemuel's idea of Pearl Jam, which is not as excited, I might add, as Charlie's and mine is, because maybe he's a different generation. I don't know. But look, Pearl Jam are they're like, you know, rock and roll gods to me. So I am a little bit biased towards the band, but I hope you enjoyed and I hope you check out the Simpleton Review podcast. And you can find that again at simpletonreview.com. We'll leave that link in the show notes. And right after these messages, we are going to listen to Andrea Albright here at Everyone Has a Story. Again, it's a fantastic and encouraging and inspiring conversation. Enjoy.
Hiya! Hey guys, welcome to the Tokyo Munchies podcast. We talk about Japanese candy, snacks, chocolate. We talk about the Tokyo weather, the Japan news, walking in my garden with Kyle while sitting in the pool. Also, we talk about Ten Sucker Sports, JapanRumAndBox.com, and Skateboarding Japan. So, drop by, check out our podcast. And as always, this is Kyle from Tokyo Munchies. Hi-yah! Come and get some.
Have Andrea Albright on the podcast with us today. Andrea is a passionate entrepreneur who has created several successful businesses. She's tackled the health and fitness industry, building and amassing over 10 million views on YouTube and landing on the cover of Health and Fitness magazine. She's also authored over 25 books, as well as starting her own publishing company dedicated to helping authors find their own success by publishing books with meaning. And she has just recently published her 26th book entitled Visionary Boss. Andrea, happy to have you with us. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Let me just start out. Just say, tell me a little bit about your journey and what's happened to your life that's led up to you writing this your 26th book.
Yes, thank you. Well, I started writing books in 2006 after I had a nervous breakdown in corporate America. So I became an entrepreneur and started writing books because I wanted to help more people. And every time I would write a book, I would get media and publicity and more people came to my website. And I realized, wow, this is the best marketing tool out there because a book is very special in our society. So I kept writing books and I created a wonderful brand in health and fitness, reaching millions of people around the world. And I became a leader, a global leader, when Women's Health and Fitness magazine put me on the cover. Well, that everything was going great. And then I had a horrible divorce. My husband left me for my bridesmaid. And ouch. Yeah, it was painful emotionally, financially. Yeah. But most of all, I started to question myself. You know, who was I to pick this person as my husband and this woman as my best friend? Mm-hmm. And it was actually in the depths of my pain that I discovered that I wanted to serve more. And that was how I started my publishing company, so that I can help other authors to publish their books in 90 days and reach their audience.
Okay. So what happened? Have you continued to have your health and fitness business during that whole time, or what?
Yep. So Thankfully, I've always set everything up on autopilot to create passive income. Mm-hmm. So I was able to create everything that I've used for health and fitness. I'm now leveraging it to launch this new book, which is my first book on entrepreneurship, because I want to share with others the trials and tribulations and obstacles you face, but also to encourage every entrepreneur out there who is a visionary, that those obstacles are actually your greatest opportunities to dig deeper and find your greatest gifts.
Okay. So let me ask you, when this really tough time in your life happened, how long did it take for you to bounce back from that? Because that's pretty devastating, what you described for us. So how long did it take?
Yes, it was devastating. It was emotionally, mentally, spiritually. I had to go on a quest to discover myself. I actually went and lived with my mom for about a year because I wanted to be around people who I could trust. I didn't even trust myself. And I lived in her bunk bed. She has a spare bunk bed in her guest room that she keeps for my nephews. And it was from the bunk bed that I didn't even want to get out of bed. I was so depressed, but I had to go deeper into, what is this about? Why am I being tested on these levels? Why have I lost everything that I thought was secure? And that was when I discovered that I want to serve more. There's still more to give. And it was from that place that I healed my heart, and I've created my new mission, helping entrepreneurs.
Great. Fantastic. So tell me, what's the driving factor that has led you to be an entrepreneur? Is this something that you've always wanted to do since you were young, to work for yourself and be, you know, a CEO or a boss?
No, I didn't even know the word entrepreneur until after I became my own CEO.
Okay.
And I look back on that, and as a child, I was always very different. You know, I never had a box that people could put me in. And I've been labeled with a lot of stereotypes. But it turns out that I'm a visionary. I see the future. I see possibilities. And every job I ever had, I would get bored. I would want to move on to the next thing. And my parents thought that there was something wrong with me, that I had, you know, attention deficit disorder, like all these problems.
Sure.
But it turns out that I was actually meant to create my own reality. And it was only after I had a nervous breakdown in corporate America that I started my own business. And the minute that I wrote my name next to who is the CEO, that was when everything shifted. I realized, wow, we are making all of this up. I'm going to create my own reality, my own version of success. And now I say I'm unemployable.
Instead of unemployed, just unemployable, because
exactly.
You're your own boss, correct?
That's correct. That's
awesome. Right. Can you talk just a little bit about when did this nervous breakdown happen in corporate America, and what was the story behind that?
Yes. So I went into corporate America, and I've always loved sales. My very first job was selling electronics at Radio Shack. And I've always loved people. I love creating value. I love business. But when I went into corporate America, I was very successful financially. In fact, I was the top third salesperson in the entire organization in the first year. And everybody was giving me all these accolades and saying, oh, you're so successful. But I didn't feel successful. I was in a toxic environment. It was way before the Me Too movement. Sure. And I was being sexually harassed. And I just would complain and I would talk about it, but no one listened to me. And so here I was having all this financial success, but yet my heart didn't have any meaning or purpose. And it was then that one day I crawled under my desk and was in fetal position and asked my heart, I said, is this it? Is this success? And my heart said, no, this isn't it. And so I quit to start my own business.
Wow. Yeah, I'll tell you, sales, that is a difficult business to be in for anybody, but it's, I think it's probably leaps and bounds more difficult if you're a female to be in a position of sales, especially, you know, depending on what you're selling. But man, I don't envy people who are in sales positions for sure.
Well, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, when I was successful, all the men in my office were very competitive with me and they would say things like, oh, it must be so nice to be a hot chick. But then here I wasn't getting the accolades I was working harder than anybody to prove myself, to prove my worth, to prove my intelligence. But yet I refused to be a man. Mm-hmm. I refused to fit into that role that people wanted me to play. And so corporate America was not a fit for me because I wasn't able to express my own creativity and my own self-expression.
Okay. So you said you didn't really know the word entrepreneur when you were younger. But since you've learned that idea of entrepreneurship and starting your own businesses, how has that idea or that term changed for you over the course of your career?
Yeah. So the word entrepreneur means a lot of different meanings. And my favorite definition is to create something from nothing. And so as an entrepreneur, we create something from nothing, meaning it's not here and there is no manual, there is no playbook. And that's very exciting because if you are a visionary and you have this skill of being able to see into the future and see a possibility and see a way that humanity can be served, I believe it is our responsibility to bring it into fruition, to bring it into reality. And if you try to deny it or try to pretend like you don't have this vision, it actually drives you crazy. And I see people who are trying to pretend like they are not an entrepreneur. But I think that's what was happening to me. I know it was happening to me because I was trying to limit my talent and limit my vision and trying to fit into a box. And that was why I was so desperately unfulfilled. And so that's what I see entrepreneurship is, the possibility to create our future.
Well, that's an interesting way to describe it. I've heard artists and musicians use that kind of, you know, hey, there's something inside of them that they need to create and bring out into the world. And if they don't, as you said, they kind of go insane or crazy. I've never really actually heard that talked about in a business sense. So that's a fascinating idea.
Well, I like to say that entrepreneurship is the artistry of business. So it is an expression that has never been expressed before. That's why you can't just copy from another entrepreneur. You have to tap into your own vision and your own expression. And so it is very creative. In fact, I believe it's at the edge of creativity. It's when everybody else is telling you you're crazy, you need to play it safe, you need to get a job. That's where you need to go deeper into your vision. And that's what I have been challenged to do. And now that we are in this new global shift that has occurred, I am so grateful that I listened to my vision because my businesses, my clients, my books are reaching more people than ever.
Have you seen a lot or heard, you know, personally known people who may not have that idea of the vision that you've got, it just fall apart during 2020, for lack of a better word?
I challenge you to go deeper. Yeah. I say that was then, if your vision is not stronger than it has ever been, mm-hmm. then you were attached to a paradigm of a reality that wasn't truly yours. Because I didn't know how or why or when, but I knew this shift was occurring. I knew it. And so this shift, it's like, here it is. Mm-hmm. And because I've listened to that inner voice, you can call it intuition or your vision. People have different words to describe it, but I'm here to encourage and actually to demand that if you have a connection to that vision, that we need you. Our society needs you. Humanity needs you. We need thought leaders now more than ever to be the forefront of where are we going? What solutions can we bring to society mm-hmm. in this new global paradigm?
Yeah. And I think you're going to see that. I mean, you're going to have people that are just going to throw up their hands, as we've seen with a lot of big box stores and things like that. And, you know, even Radio Shack, like you said, you worked for, I mean, they're pretty much non-existent these days. All of these stores that have been closing and companies that have went bankrupt. But as you said, I think it's the visionaries who are going to say, look, this is not a time to sit around and mope, but this is the time to create and find something that's different, that's going to lead us into the future. And, you know, unfortunately, maybe it's taken a pandemic crisis to get us to that point, maybe quicker than we wanted to, but maybe this is the right way to do it. And this is going to be good that now we have to confront what we're doing.
This is the time of innovation.
Yeah.
When all past paradigms crumble, now the innovation is yeah. at its peak of opportunity. And if you look back at any global shift that has occurred, you will see that this is when more millionaires are created, more opportunities are created for those who are willing to go and be brave and dare to trust their vision.
Sure.
This is the time of innovation.
Sure, absolutely. So the name of your new book is entitled Visionary Boss. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, so what is that term? I mean, we've talked about it a lot, so you may have actually answered the question, but what does that term visionary mean to you?
Yes, when you are a visionary, that means that you have a portal to a possibility and a solution for humanity or for the audience that you choose to serve. And it's actually not about you. I talk to so many entrepreneurs all the time who have really wrapped their ego around their vision. And I'm here to say that it's not about you. In fact, you are a messenger of this vision. You know, I didn't choose this vision. This vision chose me. And I am in service of it every day. And what that means is that I'm not attached to the outcome, yet I am serving something greater than me. And my audience, my clients, the people who interact with my brand and with my business, they feel that. And if you think it's about you, then you're farther from your vision than you've ever been. And so I want to say that if you are a visionary, then it is an opportunity for you to trust that vision on a deeper level and to actually see it as a responsibility to bring that vision into reality in order to serve the people you're meant to serve.
That's great. So if you are a visionary boss, then it sounds to me like you have to have maybe a level of humility and trust, to trust in the people you employ and things like that. Am I looking at that correctly?
Oh, absolutely. Every day I say I eat humility for breakfast. I mean, if you aren't constantly humbled by the way that the world is showing up, then you're not pushing your limits of true expression. And I believe that business is the greatest opportunity for self-growth, because it's easy to say, oh, I'm spiritual or I'm a humanitarian when you're up on a mountaintop. Mm-hmm. But when you are actually in the day-to-day interaction with your clients, your customers, your team members, your employees, your business partners, your investors, the government, we're talking about interactions that constantly challenge you and test you, and you learn and you grow. And so as an entrepreneur, the idea of growth needs to be your number one fuel, because being humbled is part of the game every day.
Very, yeah. That is true. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that don't understand that. I think we'd be in a better place if most people understood that humility might be one of the better qualities we could possibly possess.
Absolutely. There's nothing better than saying, wow, I don't know that. Or whenever I say I'm wrong and I admit my defeat, or it's not even a defeat. It's I'm wrong. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to evolve. Because now you're in that direct mirror reflection. Sure. You can't hide from your business. And that's why I love business as a spiritual teacher and a self-growth opportunity.
Yeah. And absolutely, and strangely enough, if you admit that as the boss, you empower the people working underneath you to be better employees. And I don't see a lot of CEOs or owners of companies realizing that. But boy, humility, I think, produces growth.
And that is part of this global shift that is occurring. So the outdated paradigm of leadership of saying, do what I say and don't question me and you know, follow me without, and just being this like dictator, that's no longer working. You know, there's been many evolutions that have occurred. Social media is a huge one because now people have a voice. Everybody can share their ideas and their thoughts and their expressions about your brand, about your business. And so you have to truly be in tune with how are you serving others. It is not about you. It's about your service to other people.
Right.
So this humility as a boss is actually the greatest sign of strength. Because you're not going to be forcing people who secretly sabotage you behind their back, your back. You are actually inspiring their greatness. Mm-hmm. And every human wants to believe that they make a difference and that they matter. And these are the brands and the businesses that you are going to see prevail during this time are those who inspire their customers, their clients, their market, and also the members who are on their team. And so I say everybody is part of my team. And I happen to be the visionary, and I will always be the visionary because I need to direct our ship where we're going.
Right.
All of these companies that are going out of business, it's because they've lost their visionary. The visionary has become part of the management or part of the investor or raising capital for the sake of capital gains.
Mm-hmm.
But to be a true visionary means that you are beyond what's here and now. You are always looking into the future and serving at the highest level.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Those are good words. So again, your new book is called Visionary Boss. What are some of the key points that you hope people get out of your book if they read it?
Well, Visionary Boss, we've already talked about, you need to be the visionary. You need to trust your vision above all other voices or data or stats or even global economic shifts. I don't listen or guide my business according to the media or according to any other conversation. I listen to that inner vision. I also say it's the next edge entrepreneur. That's the edge that we need to find because a lot of people talk about the cutting edge. Wow, the cutting edge. But I don't know about you. Every edge I've ever come to the end of, there's always more, right?
Yeah,
there's always something. And so I say, I dare you to ask what's next. What's the next edge? And as the entrepreneur, continue to reach your vision forward. Always trust that your vision will carry you forward. And I say, may you never reach your final edge.
That's great. That's fantastic. So how have you continued to find your best self after all of your hardships and struggles?
Wow. How much time do we have?
And all the time you need.
Yes. Well, my first 20-something books are based on health and fitness, and that is truly the ground from which I grow as an entrepreneur. And I've been an entrepreneur for over 16 years now, and I've seen tens of thousands of entrepreneurs fail. They were smart, They were brilliant. They had a heart of gold. But why did they burn out? Why did they quit? Or why has this global pandemic taken out so many of them? I believe it's because they are not grounded in their sense of self and their relationship with their self. And so I have a very deep personal relationship with who I am at my core soul. I start every morning with meditation, yoga. I have a personal practice that I wake up to really go into who am I? What's the best version of myself? What do I need to learn and where do I need to grow? It is only after I tap into that that I then come on your show or reach my audience. And so I believe that if more entrepreneurs really grounded themselves in their truth and who they are at their core, then they would not be so swayed by the fear paradigms or all the chaos that society wants to try to get our attention from. And so I really think that I want more entrepreneurs to have that self-care and that self-love ritual.
That's fantastic. So where can people find your new book or any of your books for that matter?
Yes. So if you go to my website, AndreaAlbright.com, I have a free gift. I teach you how you can do a $100,000 book launch with my implementation strategy and checklist. So that is for free at AndreaAlbright.com. And you'll also find my new book there.
Awesome. And we'll make sure we have all that information in the show notes here on the podcast so people can just click on that and go straight to your website. Well, I'll tell you what, we're about ready to wrap up, but I always like to ask my guests just a couple of very menial questions. Are you up for them? They're simple. They're not gotchas or anything like that.
I'm up for anything.
Awesome. Okay. So here's the first question. What is or who is your favorite superhero? It doesn't have to be a comic book superhero. So just whatever your favorite superhero is.
Wow. Okay. So my favorite superhero is Doctor Strange.
Mm, okay. And why is
he
that?
He has the metaphysical powers and he has done a lot of the deep work around what we're talking about in this interview today. Mm-hmm. That when he reached his edge and he thought he had lost everything, that was when he tapped into his greatest source of strength inside of himself.
That's good. That's great. I love how you tied that into our conversation. That's amazing. Okay, so the next question is, who is your favorite musician or band at this point in time? What's on your Spotify playlist?
I am really into Lady Gaga. Okay. I think she continuously breaks the idea of a brand as a musician. I believe she is truly the entrepreneur of a musician because she's constantly reinventing, revising her music, her image. And I think she's super talented. Yeah. I'm just really into everything she's creating at this point in her career.
Yeah, for sure. I think she's probably this generation's Madonna for lack of, you know, I mean, she just has that same thing. She constantly reinvents herself and she stays on the forefront and she's had a career so far that's lasted, what, at least 10 to 15 years that she's been on the public eye. So more power to her. That's fantastic. Okay. And this one's a little bit more serious. What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
The best piece of advice I've ever been given. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm not going to say something super cliche. I actually want to give you something that maybe is counterintuitive. And that is actually that success is counterintuitive. Okay. I learned this from my first mentor, and he taught me that in order to be successful on your own terms, you cannot look around at other people in society and just expect that it's going to rub off on you. Because if everyone were successful, then it would be obvious, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, not everyone is successful. Right. And so it's not a $2.99 hot dog you can get at 7-Eleven. Right. You have to be willing to change your perspective. You have to be willing to open your mind and keep your mind open to new realities and new possibilities. Because if success were easy, everyone would be successful. Okay. And so success is counterintuitive.
That's good. That's very good. Andre, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. I wish you nothing but success on your new book and all of your ventures that you have planned for the future, because I got a feeling there's a lot of them.
Thank you very much. It has been wonderful to be with you, and I greatly appreciate this opportunity.
Andrea Albright on Everyone Has a Story. Thank you so much, Andrea, for calling into the dungeon and sharing a few minutes with us and sharing your inspiring story. You can find all of the links to Andrea's social media platforms and a link to her new book in the show notes. So please make sure you go check that out. Visionary Boss is the name of her brand new book, and it is fantastic read. So please go check that out. You will not be disappointed. If you or someone you know would be interested in sharing your story, I would love to hear it. This podcast does not exist unless we have people like you that are willing to share your story. And if you think your story is boring, you are completely wrong. You are you, you are a human being, and your life is most infinitely fascinating. So please get a hold of me. You can find me at Twitter at Knade Radio. That's Knatradio. Or email me at knateradio@gmail.com. You can find me on any of those channels. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram at Everybody's Got a Story. So please don't hesitate to reach out to me. And if you want to find some cool merch featuring Everyone Has a Story, you can find that on threadless.com. T-shirts, coffee mugs, all that kind of stuff. We've got it all available. And you can also support me on Patreon if you would like. You can find all those links in the show notes. And so I hope you guys have a fantastic week. Thank you so much for listening to my humble little podcast. It always means a lot to me when I know that you've been touched and that you even listen to my little podcast. This is Nate Wade saying, I hope you have a wonderful week. Remember, everybody's unique. Everybody has a story. What's yours? Thanks so much for joining me. Have a great week.